Matthew 13, 10 to 23. His disciples came and asked him, why do you always use these hard to understand illustrations? Then he explained to them that they only were permitted to understand about the kingdom of heaven, and others were not. For to him who has will more will be given, he told them, and he will have great plenty. But from him who has not, even the little he has will be taken away. That is why I use these illustrations, so people will hear and see, but not understand. This fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah. They hear, but don't understand. They look, but don't see. For their hearts are fat and heavy, and their ears are dull, and they have closed their eyes in sleep, so they won't see and hear and understand and turn to God again and let me heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Many a prophet and godly man has longed to see what you have seen and hear what you have heard, but couldn't. Now here is the explanation of the story I told about the farmer planting grain. The hard path where some of the seeds fell represents the heart of a person who hears the good news about the kingdom and doesn't understand it. Then Satan comes and snatches away the seed from his heart. The shallow, rocky soil represents the heart of a man who hears the message and receives it with real joy, but he doesn't have much depth in his life, and the seeds don't root very deeply. And after a while, when trouble comes or persecution begins because of his beliefs, his enthusiasm fades and he drops out. The ground covered with thistles represents a man who hears the message, but the cares of his life and his longing for money choke out God's word, and he does less and less for God. The good ground represents the heart of a man who listens to the message and understands it and goes out and brings 30, 60, or even 100 others into the kingdom of God. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Steve?
So how receptive are you to the message of God's reign? And if you are receptive, what impact has that had in you and through you? I think that's the question that Jesus is asking us through this parable this morning. So we want to get into this a little more. And when I ask how receptive are you or have you been, think about it in two ways. One, in a more ultimate way. You come to that place of hearing and receiving this good news and really believing that God is creator and sustainer of all things, that he sent his son Jesus to us to redeem us, that you've been forgiven and made right with God, and now that you've made that decision to follow Jesus in your life. And so there's that ultimate reception. I believe this and I'm living it. But then there's also the daily reception of good news and the word of God. And that's something I'd also like us to ask. Like, today I'm acknowledging Jesus in my life, and today I'm seeking his voice and his direction for my life. I think about Psalm 143, where the psalmist says, "Let me hear in the morning, let me hear this morning about your steadfast love, for I trust in you. Make known to me your ways, because to you I'm lifting up my life." Those are the words of a receptive heart, day in and day out. And so, in our parable today, our receptivity to God's voice, to God's invitation, is represented by soil. The soil represents our receptivity to the seed, or to the word of God. And the seeds are God's word, or God's invitation, or God's promises to us. And so Jesus is testing the soil. I don't know how many of you test soil in your garden, in your orchard. The only soil testing I've ever done was to stick my finger in our house plants, and say, this is dry. We have to add water to it. You can test the pH balance in your soil. If it's too acidic, that's not good for the plants. You can dig a volume of soil and count how many earthworms are in it. And that's a sign of the health of your soil. That's all I know about soil testing after 10 minutes on Google. So I'm sure there's a lot more intricate ways to test soil for farmers and others. But Jesus here is testing the soil of our hearts, through this parable. And as he's there teaching by the lakeside amongst these people. And to see how receptive they are to the message that he's been bringing. And just a reminder of the message that he's bringing, his very first words in Matthew when he begins his ministry are, repent, the kingdom of heaven is coming near to you. And so that's the theme of Jesus' message. Turn around, turn towards God. God is taking his world back through me. Heaven is coming close to earth. Will you be part of that? And there's many who don't want to believe these words of Jesus. They don't see Jesus as the one bringing forth the kingdom of heaven. In the preceding chapter, chapter 12, when the Pharisees heard this, they said, it's only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that this fellow Jesus drives out demons. They're not buying it. Their soil is hard. They're not receptive to what Jesus is teaching and what he's showing to the people. But there's a lot of people who are beginning to see that Jesus really is the one that God has sent to redeem the people. Their soil is becoming more and more receptive to the voice and the message of God. And so Jesus, again, is looking for receptive hearts. He's looking for receptive hearts there by the lakeside. He's looking for receptive hearts here in this auditorium, and he's looking for receptive hearts all throughout the world. If you remember when Jesus would send out his disciples into the villages, into the towns, he would say, look for a person of peace. And what they were supposed to look for is someone who was welcoming, someone who did have that kind of open, receptive heart to the message that they were bringing, that the kingdom of heaven is coming near. Again, so there's that theme of as God is speaking into this world, and it's the heart of God to speak and to invite and to promise his redemption. And he's looking for these open, receptive hearts. Even as we would, in whatever way we might be ministers for God, what we're doing is we're looking for the places where there's open hearts that we might be able to speak and to be an example and to help to nurture that openness. And so in our story today, that open, receptive heart's represented again by the soils, and more specifically, those people who are willing to hear these parables and to dig in and to hear what God is speaking through these parables. And parables are different than illustrations. Illustrations are something we might use, like testing soil to help understand more clearly a certain point. Parables, are meant to make us ponder, to think deeper, to really work at exploring Jesus and his message. They aren't meant to be so easy that we get it. But that we have to work through it a bit. So keep that in mind as we're going through these parables and try to always at least, name what's the next parable, for next week, so that throughout the week you can be reading it and pondering what it might be saying to you. William Barclay says that parables reveal truth to the one who desires truth, the one who would seek it out and do that work of exploring. But it conceals truths to the ones who don't wish to see truth, who aren't interested or maybe who are in opposition to that truth. It reminds me of being back in school, and I don't know if you can relate to this, but there were some times for me in school where I would just say, Just give me the information. I just want to pass the test, and I'll kind of regurgitate this information from my short-term memory, and I'll never remember it again. You know, but there's other times when I was really interested in the subject, and still today, where I'm willing to go deeper, where I would want the teacher or the professor to really lay it all out. You know, let me know everything about this subject because I'm more hungry for it. And I think that's what Jesus is trying to do with parables is, are you willing to take these stories, these truths, and really ponder what it means for your life and for this world? And really, they're weeding out those who are receptive and those who are indifferent, or maybe even in opposition to the message. And so that's why he quotes here in verses 13 to 15 of our scripture. Though seeing, they don't see. And though hearing, they don't hear or understand. I remember, well, it's still true today, those magic eyes, I think that's what they're called, those images where you have to somehow focus in, there's something in there, it's not obvious, but you have to adjust your eyes to see it. Do you know what I mean? I've never seen it. And so, like, that's what I think of when I think of this scripture. I see that picture, that image, but I just can't get that deeper image that's in there somehow. I just can't work my eyes to do that. And then he quotes Isaiah, "You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's hearts have become calloused. They hardly hear with their eyes, and they've closed their eyes. I'm sorry, they hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them." They would only do that. Again, seeing the heart of God, if only they would open their hearts, they would find my healing, my restoration. And so, at the end of chapter 11 of Matthew here, Jesus prays, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you've hidden these things from the wise and the understanding and revealed them to children. Yes, Father, for such is your gracious will." A theme throughout scripture that the humble, those who are humble in spirit, those who are trusting and willing to listen, God is faithful to respond. But those who are arrogant, those who have all the answers, they don't hear anymore, you know, and they're dulled to what is being spoken to them. And so I see in Jesus' teaching here this promise that God will give understanding. If you open your heart, even the slightest bit, the Spirit of God will come in there and begin to speak understanding. And Jesus says already to his disciples, "You've been given the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. These new things that are being revealed in and through me. You've heard and you've been willing to believe and to pursue this farther. But there's many around us who are hardened to the message that I'm bringing." And Jesus says, "Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away." And so he seems to be speaking in this context of understanding. Those who are open and are given understanding from the Holy Spirit, even more will be given as you open your heart more and more. And it seems like it follows that pattern that we tend to gain momentum in one direction or the other. When we're bitter, and we act on that bitterness, it can tend to grow and grow and grow. When we act in love or mercy, it tends to move in that direction. You can think of all kinds of examples where we tend to move out in one direction or the other. The same is true with receptive hearts. Like, I think of the Pharisees, the religious leaders here, who the more that Jesus claims himself, or it's kind of assumed that he's the Son of God, the more their heart is hardened. The more that Jesus' words challenge their authority and their power, the more their hearts are hardened, and they become less and less open to Jesus and his message, and more calloused to this truth. And so we've established that God is a God who is looking for receptive, responsive hearts. And it is more than willing to respond to that. And we also have established that as Jesus is bringing a fulfillment of the kingdom, he is looking around him for receptive hearts and is looking even today for our receptive hearts. And for those who are curious, those who have receptive spirits, understanding will be given in greater and greater measure. And so with that in mind, I just want to look here briefly at these four soils again. Jan, give us a great initiation into this parable. So I want to think again about these four soils. The first is the path, or the hard soil by the roadway. And here in the path, those seeds just don't penetrate. They're just sitting on the top, and the birds come and carry them away. And I think that represents people who just have presently no interest. You know, in whatever way they might see a sign of God or hear something, but it just doesn't penetrate at all. It just sits there, and Jesus says Satan just comes and snatches that away. You know, I'm content with life as this world offers it. I don't need any more. You don't need to introduce me to God or this truth about Jesus. Or it might be those who are openly resistant to the message or whatever, the sign of God that is being presented before them. Those who've been hurt by the church maybe, or those who are angry with God, those who somehow this message is offensive to them. And they just can't hear it. And so it seems to me when there's hard soil, it really requires a lot of prayer for God to break through, that the Holy Spirit somehow can move in and soften the heart where it seems like there's only calloused hardness. You know, it's not just that if we could just explain a little more, they'd be willing. But there's some kind of breakthrough that needs to happen. Last week we talked about Jesus as the one who tears down dividing walls between us and God and each other. That it seems when the seed falls on the hard path, somehow by the power of God, that soil needs to be softened. And that it might even be true for us. Those who claim to know Jesus and follow him, there might be seasons of our life where the soil's hard, where there's something that's happened between us and God, that we're just, his truths can't penetrate, or our openness to God in this present time just is calloused and hard. And again, I believe it takes us to really, in prayer, open our hearts for God to do a new thing. Something needs to get resolved here between me and God, again, for the seeds to penetrate. And then we have the shallow soil. And here's where there's a lot of rock. And I think in Pennsylvania, we would think about, we have rocky soil. You know, if you've ever tried to dig, you're going to hit rocks. Or if you have to send a tent peg in, you know, you often hit a rock. From what I understand in Palestine, where, you know, the context here for Jesus, there was often a layer of limestone just under the surface. And that's what would stop the plants from really having depth of root. But the idea here is, there's a lot of early enthusiasm, but because those roots don't sink in, it's just when any kind of hardship or testing or trials come, there's just nothing there to sustain one's faith or one's openness. And, we just wither. And so the key here is to develop those good roots. And thinking about what those roots are, it's fellowship with others who have like faith. It's being around others who are able to give encouragement or to be an example or to strengthen you in your faith. It's time in prayer when we're being nurtured and we're putting our faith in God. Remember last week we talked about prayers of lament, and a prayer of lament is, God, how long will it be till you act? You know, and we cry out to God to intervene. And even though that seems like a complaint, it does show that we're putting our trust in God. We are sinking roots down and saying, in this difficult circumstance, God, I'm going to trust you. And in prayer, I'm going to entrust this situation to you, and I'm going to believe that somehow you're going to act. Roots could be scripture, reading scripture and meditating on scripture so that we're, again, reoriented to the ways of God when the world somehow beats us down. And so the key here in shallow soil is to develop those roots that will nourish us and anchor us in our faith. And then we come to the thorns, and Jesus describes them as the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and these things that choke out the word. And what I think about in this particular soil is it seems like it's rich soil for everything to grow. You know, the plant is growing, whatever you plant it, but then you got the thorns and the weeds and everything else. And maybe that's a good way to picture what might be going on in your own life, where even as you're attempting to nurture faith, there's just all this other stuff going on in your life as well, kind of pulling your allegiance away from God and towards these other gods in your life. And when this happens, the word of God, the influence of God in our lives can't be heard as clearly, as singularly, as centrally as it should. And eventually it gets choked out. Jesus says you can't serve two masters. I mean, make a choice of what is going to be growing and nurturing in your life. It reminds me of the words of Cayman Call's song from probably the 1990s. But this world has nothing for me, and this world has everything. All that I could want, but nothing that I need. And I hear in those words somebody who's really wrestling with the idea that there's all this stuff that's calling my attention, but yet I know there's this one true thing. You know, this world has nothing for me, but this world has everything. All that I could want, nothing that I need. Jesus is the one thing, but in this soil there's many other things competing for our allegiance. And then finally we get to the good soil. And this, I think, really gets to the importance of this message and why we're being called to receptive hearts, is that when there's good soil, when we truly receive the message of God, the promises of God, our hearts begin to produce a multiplication of fruit in our lives. There's this increase, 30, 60, 90, 100 times. And I think here it's important to know that understanding is more than just, I've got that concept in my mind. Now, I understand it with my brain. But understanding, and this is true throughout Scripture, understanding is also meant that this knowledge has taken root in my life, and I'm living it. And so to know in Scripture means more than just I understand it in my brain. I know it so that it's bearing fruit. It's being integrated into my life. And so when there's true receptivity, there's that integration into our lives. And again, those words of Jesus, to those who have, more will be given. And I think as we gain more understanding, and as it's bearing fruit in our lives, that's going to multiply more and more. Deeper understanding, deeper, more abundant fruit. More understanding, deeper fruit, as we go along. And so, in conclusion, as you've heard about these different soils, just like there's that, you can get that paper that has all those faces, happy, confused, sad, all the different emotions. And you might be asking now, which are you feeling right now? As you've heard about these four soils, how's the Spirit of God been speaking to your heart? Like, where are you at? Where's your soil right now? If it would be tested, does it feel hard and calloused, where it just something needs to be resolved between you and God before you can be open again to God's influence? Or is it shallow? Are you finding, as you think about it, I just have no roots that are sustaining and anchoring me right now? Or there's a lot of thorns. There's a lot of things competing for my allegiance and my attention, taking me away from God. Or maybe you feel like, I'm really in a season of good soil, and I want more and more of that so that more and more fruit can be produced. It's probably true that there's a lot of all this stuff going on. I could probably say throughout a day, I could maybe name every one of these soils that's going on in my life. But it's a good challenge for us that Jesus gives. What's the state of your soil as Jesus is testing it today? And what does he want you to do about that? Or how is he leading you towards that richer, more productive soil? Let's pray together. God, we are so grateful that you're a God who speaks to your people. You send out your word like you send out rain and snow, and you expect that it will produce a harvest or a yield. We just pray that you would purify the soil of our hearts. Work in us so that our soil of our hearts is ready to receive what you have for us each and every day, that more and more there's a clearer understanding and reception of your voice and your direction, a deeper and deeper faith as we walk with you and as we walk together in faith. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.